Hello and welcome to another edition of the Talking Para podcast, both on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and Facebook Live as well. Hello to all our Facebook Live viewers. We're back after a 12-day hiatus, 12-day stand-down, I think it was. So we're back. We've got a full house. We've got Maddie from MTady Sports TV. We've got Joel from League of Inches. We've got Hayden from the Entertain House. We have myself, Troy, from the Paracave Podcast. And we have our illustrious host, Adam Martin. Over to you, Adam.
Thank you, Troy. As you can hear, I'm dying a bit up here. I love this winter feel. A bit croaky. A bit of the Darren Lockie is going. But we'll get on with it. As I said, it's been a pretty big 2 weeks. We've got a lot to catch up on. Obviously, got to review that Parramatta Cowboys game, which I actually thought was a pretty decent game of football. You know, the benefit of not talking football for, well, at least we haven't done a show for 2 weeks, is the game before that obviously got smashed by the Tigers. And we thought, oh, we've only been 24-16. Well, the Cowboys have since gone and put 45 points on Melbourne. So kind of hindsight's a wonderful thing. Yeah, we obviously would have been able to predict that last week. We'll do a little bit of origin review, not too much time on that, and obviously preview what could be the potential teams and potentially some Parramatta players coming in. Then we'll preview the Parramatta Dogs game, which should be a pretty decent-sized crowd out there at a core stadium. Obviously, we're going to talk about the other major news as well, which has come in the last couple of days. Wouldn't be bye weekend without an incident. The incident was NRL team was going so well, incident-free for so long, but look, you just can't go bye weekend without something happening. Unfortunately, it's involved one of our players, but let's start positive. We'll start with the Parramatta Cowboys win. As I said, I'm going to give full credit to the boys, and by the boys, I mean the Cowboys, because I actually thought they were excellent in that game. The old bounce-back factor is, you know, teams are always going to bounce back after getting a big score put on them. And for me, it showed credit to us, because that's the kind of game we would have walked into a couple of years ago and expected to put a big score on and win the game. We stuck to what works. We weren't perfect, but we shut the game out and got the win, which is very hard to do. And as I said, the Cowboys since gone to beat there. It's hard to think about the best performance. I'm probably going to have to bring it up. So I'll throw across to someone else because my voice is getting worse and worse by a second. Hayden, you've got a lovely sounding voice. How would you like to talk about the Parramatta Cowboys game?
Yeah, I didn't have a lovely sounding voice the other day. Like you, I've had a bit of the winter bug, and the Mariners winning the comp the other day made me absolutely scream. And
all right, Hayden, that's enough for you.
But no, I know it was a few weeks ago, that Cowboys game now, so it's a bit tough to remember. But like you, I think we all expected to put a, you know, massive score on the Cowboys. We expected going into the bye week with, you know, this big victory, and they brought it to a grindy game, and you gave them full credit. I think we seem to always make, you know, average for the season number sevens look like Andrew Johns, and that's what we did with Chad Townsend. I thought not only him, but the whole team defensively for the Cowboys was great. There are a few try savers there. I thought we could have had a few more tries ourselves, just a couple, you know, not the 40 points that we were all expecting there. But yeah, especially at home, I think it was a very important win at that part of the season where we're still, you know, considering we've turned this season to 6 wins, 7 losses from staring down the barrel of, you know, 0-4, I think it's been a good turnaround. And yeah, it was a gritty game. Not the game we were expecting, I don't think.
Cool. Wonderful. Thank you, Hayden. Sorry, I saw someone's comment there about mentioning the Mariners win. Joel, we'll go to you.
Oh, mate. Well, I don't remember it. What happened? It's been that long.
We won.
It was... Look, I actually said before we did the video, when we did the video for the game, that... it was going to be a danger game and we were going to be pretty close all the way through and end up sort of being that. And the forward pack that we had was my worry. It was just good that they ended up standing up and getting the 2 points. That was just one of those games where we needed to win. So good on the boys. Proud of them for getting in there and doing the effort. Special shout out to Wirra McGregg for doing that all with an obvious injury that he's now out for a long time with. So... yeah,
I'm trying to remember when he actually did that injury. Did he do that in that game, or was? Because I remember a game.
Apparently, he's been carrying it for a couple of weeks now.
I just remember him getting hurt early in one of the games.
Was it the Canberra game?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Was it South Sydney or Canberra? It was definitely a few weeks back. I remember. I just remember him picking up an ankle injury. And obviously, Look, Wiramura, it's happening again, mate. I apologise because I've called you cat, and if you're tough enough to play through that, the injury's actually picked up. They referred to it as the ACL of the foot because it's so hard to actually get over the injury. So, look, obviously it's disappointing he's out because every time we almost see ourselves at full strength and having that impact off the bench, it comes back and someone else gets injured. So it's the curse of the forwards. It was the wingers last year forwards. Anyway, Joel, continue.
No, that's it. I'm done. I forgot about most of the game. So,
true. Yeah, look, I think you guys have nailed it on the head so far. I think we all expected to put on a big score, but it wasn't to be. I think probably, yeah. Well, not you. Of course, not you, mate. You
got pretty close.
You tipped the Cowboys. You tipped the Cowboys to win, I think.
Joel provided the viewers of a great tip of the Cowboys plus 13.5. I went against him, but good tip there from Joel.
There
thanks,
you go.
Thanks, Hayden. Thanks for the support.
But gamble responsibly. But look, the Cowboys stayed in Sydney for the whole week, so they didn't go back to Queensland. They had some Origin players out. They really stood up. They scored the first try of the game. Yeah, I mean, it's 2 weeks ago. I mean, we should have done a show last week, like to cover this Cowboys game.
I couldn't.
Let's get into Origin.
No, not yet. We'll go.
Hang on.
But yeah, I mean,
hang on. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, it was a good game. It was very entertaining, considering the fact the ref didn't know the rules half the time and was told by the players. Clearly was the worst refereeing performance I've seen.
We've got him again this week.
Oh, I hope not. Just like Chad Townsend pretty much took a play out of Mitch Moses, just kicking it straight to Sivo. Sivo holding the ball in the wrong hand, could have palmed Chad Townsend off, got taken down. What else? But Hayden, so there was something that happened in that game that Adam hasn't mentioned yet. Somebody got their first NRL try.
Yeah, we're getting to that. Don't worry. Well, I remember more about the game as you've been talking because I've been looking up the stats. So obviously, Wiramu got his first try against his former club, which was wonderful to see. Look, it's one of those games I thought Sean Russell was unlucky not to bag a hat-trick. Incorrect call and... What else? Obviously, that four pass they called forward. I'm just confident in this comment section.
Actually, it just reminded me about the Sean Russell factor. You know why I don't remember much of this game? Because in the second half of half time and the first 10 minutes of the second half, and you need to fix your shit, Combank, the line for hot chocolates. It looked very small, but they took so long. It was Penrith part two of last year. I was watching on the screen Sean Russell getting denied. And then third time lucky gets the try.
I was going to say, should have seen the beer line. If you're lining up for hot chocolates.
Mate, you should have seen the beer line for the Mariners. Anyway, go on.
Anyway.
I'll take that up with Combank Stadium, Hayden. And yes, the referee was Liam Kennedy, who we have this weekend as well.
All right. Let's go through some stuff to highlight that game before we close it out. So... I want to talk about Mike Acevo because I thought he was disgraceful. And saying that, he ran for 220 metres. But as you said, Townsend kicked straight down his throat the whole time. He looked like a reserve grader out there. And this is the Sivo we didn't see last year. We saw the year before. Look, I don't know what about it is with this bloke. I think he's honestly trying to develop his game too much. When he doesn't need to, he needs to get back to playing the footy. We've seen the kicks come into the game. A couple of little things that he really doesn't need to be doing as a try-scoring winger. I think Sivo, if he doesn't improve this next couple of weeks, does need a rest to go back and find his form because, really, he's scoring tries that any winger will score. He's not doing anything special, but he's blowing tries that a lot of wingers would score. Forgive me while I cough up my lungs. Moving on from that game, I'll give a couple of credit mentions. I thought Russell was good once again. I thought Simonson was very good. Simonson get back and doing those tough runs. Ran for 192 metres. Greg ran for 145, and we're obviously forgetting that we lost Offen Gyo. Can you guys even hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good, because I'm struggling. But looking at the game, as I said, The Cowboys completed 84%. They completed better than us. And there was something else I had highlighted as well. We made 14 errors. They missed 29 tackles. We missed 32 tackles. So it wasn't our perfect game. We got what we did. But most importantly, something that we never do. Guys, we scored off a scrum play. Mitchell Moses scored off a scrum play. That's just a very unparalleled thing happened.
We actually caught it. You could see the space. And I'm like, if Mitch doesn't take that, and we're all like, and one of the guys behind us was yelling out, take it, Mitch, take it. And then it was literally, yeah, it was amazing that he closed out the game.
Right, let's get on to State of Origin.
Hang on, I got something. Hayden, do you want to? So let me. Oh, Hayden's getting the Queensland jersey ready. But why he's getting changed? Me and Hayden organised something for you, Adam. There was a special moment in that game. So crossing over to CommBank Stadium right now, we've got a special message for you.
Special guest.
Brown for Widemoo. Greg, he's gone straight through. The former Cowboy has scored.
Hey, Adam Martin, that travels for you.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Wait, mate, he knows me on first name basis anyway. We talked about the game nearly. Wonderful.
Look, just going back to Mike Acevo, I don't think he needs to be dropped to reserve grade. I think one of the problems I think he has is being hit by the defence. Like, you notice that he doesn't run as hard as he used to into the defence. So I think that's his problem, is his contact.
Yeah, so how do you fix that?
Well, he runs backwards like he wants. Every single time he gets tackled, it's almost a crusher tackle.
Yeah, he looks at too much. He's really actually called for a crusher. But how do you suggest fixing that, Joy? Because the whole point of reserve grade is if you're not playing a good enough standard to play first grade, you go to reserve grade, you work on your confidence, you work on the things you need to work to. Our coach doesn't like to make players accountable for their games. It's as simple as that. And the main point is here, how long can you persist with a bloke? Is there a bloke in reserve grade doing his job that deserves that spot? I don't know. They got beat by Newcastle on the weekend. So it's really hard. Newcastle have been going terrible in reserve grade. But obviously you can't judge individual performances on a team performance because we won the game and Sivo was still terrible. So what would you suggest he does? Because you can only give blokes so many chances to fix it in first grade is my thoughts on it.
Well, it obviously has to be more contact training, doesn't it? Obviously you can't go as full on as in a game, but... That's what I think the problem is, and others have said that as well.
If I was the Eels, I would have had him not have the bye, and I would have put him in New South Wales Cup.
100%. Yeah.
There's a few extra issues there with Sivo that we're not talking about. One's his defensive reads are horrible. He's one of the worst defensive wingers in the comp, and he's still pretty much coached on the field. You can hear players talking to him nonstop. So. He's played first grade now for a number of years, and to still be not knowing most of the rules is a bit of a worry for mine. And I know his try scoring record is ridiculous. It's phenomenal. But as Adam has said, especially lately, I reckon most wingers would score the tries he's been scoring. So I think the try scoring record is sort of downplaying his form and what he's been like as a winger for a little bit of time now, because personally, and I put a status up when it was happening, I'm not too pleased with his form either at the moment. I think that we could really basically worry. It's a big worry for us moving forward, having him in this current form.
The simple fact is we're starting to look to our right-hand side a lot more than we ever have. Most teams don't predominantly play right to left because most people can pass. It doesn't matter if you're first grade football or what. Most teams can pass right to left better, so they're always looking to left. We're now starting to come to the right. And as you can see, it just wasn't crisp enough because we probably should have scored three or four more tries out there. That's the concern. My other concern is he's a first-grade footballer. I know they do a bit of contact stuff, but he has to be tough. And I don't think he's ever been the same player since Brad Parker cut him down to his knee. I think he's been a little bit scared to run the ball. Someone else has said it. Been a little bit scared to run the ball since there. And it's a psychological thing he has to get out of his game. Or for me, his future does lie somewhere else. Because he's, what is he, 6 years, no, 2019 he made his debut. Was it 19? Yep. So 19, 20, 21, 20. He's 5 years in. By 5 years, Semirad Raja had reached his peak. And we were just starting to see the best of him in 2017. He debuted in 2013. We never got to see the best of Semi, in my opinion, but we got to see the best of him in 5 years. If you look how Semi evolved his game in 2017, he was the best outside back in the game by far. We're not seeing that from Sifo. Like, you know, I thought we were going to... I was surprised he made it back into first grade last year. I was impressed with how he went last year, but he hasn't gone on with this year, and there's no reason why. He hasn't picked up any other injuries. He hasn't been smashed. Like, if he's simply just scared, well, there lies your issue. You can't be scared and be a first-grade footballer. It's scary enough playing local football. But, you know, I don't know. It's, we could talk about it for ages. It seems to be an ongoing issue, but for me, it's something needs to be done about it. What do you want to move on to Origin now?
Not really.
Yeah, just... Not really.
Yeah, Hayden, just start saying, go on, how you say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, everyone already knows the score, but I think we should just give our boy Junior Paulo, you know, that honourable mention for, you know, obviously it was a defeat, but a good performance off the bench for Junior, and great to see him back in the Blues jumper. But in other Eels news, the big one to come out today is that Jermaine Hopgood looking at potentially a Queensland debut for game two. Billy Slater's basically come out and said, besides Corey Horsburgh, that Jermaine Hopgood is, you know, his second option or even first option. He's kind of deciding in these next couple of weeks who will be there for
that. Now we'll have all the fans say, oh, no, I don't want him to play Origin. We need him for Parramatta. He can't play Origin.
We need him for Parramatta.
We have that one left.
Yeah, look, let's talk about this game quickly, because I thought New South Wales were terrible. I know you guys have done a different podcast on as well, Joe and Matt, but I thought New South Wales were terrible. I actually thought Junior Paulo was very poor. Now, I'm not blaming Junior Paulo for that. I'm blaming the way that Fittler uses him. He's a starting front rower, and he came on a bench with little impact when he didn't need to. It was good to see him tuck the ball and run it, which he probably, when he does that for Parramatta, we've seen him play our best footy. But for me, the only person I thought was actually good for New South Wales was Liam Martin. I'm struggling to find anyone else that actually played well. There needs to be changes to that team.
I would say Liam Martin and To'o. I think To'o was good as well. Especially those back carries for a game like that, the line breaks as well.
If you look at how awful Crichton was inside of him, well, it probably makes his performance a little bit better. I actually thought that Hass tried hard, so I'll give him a bit of an honourable mention. But besides that, he's just got it all wrong, Fittler. Anyway,
I thought Teddy was good.
What, ice skating?
That's all we've got time for today. but really, Teddy was terrible. They're talking about bringing Dylan Edwards in. I don't think it's the right option. I don't think adding another Penrith is going to help it.
Teddy's not going to get dropped.
Teddy's not going to get dropped, let's be honest. He'll be there. He'll go down with the ship if we lose a series this year, which we will. I think we'll lose the next game. And
panic button.
Two weeks from today, boys. I'll be there. Looking forward to it. We can move on
to that. I predicted Queensland 3-0 at the start. And Joel will testify to that, didn't I, Joel?
Yeah. I think we all did.
Yeah.
We all did. We still got 2-1. It's very hard to... I know we did it last year, but it's very hard to win in Sydney.
Well, saying that, they'll change the team around and give blokes a go in the last game if it gets to that stage. Look, does anyone want to mention anything about Origin, or you want to move on to the potential for Parramatta players coming in next game?
Yeah.
We'll move on, but I just quickly want to mention that if Mitchell Moses does get that spot as the Blues number 7 that's being talked about, what happens to our halves? We obviously have, we'll talk about later, Dejan Arcee in number 6 at the moment. Does Gutherson now guarantee himself in the halves and, you know, Simonson or Russell to fullback, or is there other options there now that Jake's left?
This is one of Adam's rants. It's not Joel's rant. It's going to be Adam's rant. Because
you got a button for that, Matty?
No, he doesn't. But
I've only got Joel's rant. I was going to change it as well. I was going to make an Adam rant one, but
because here lies the issue of the club. All right, now I know the circumstances around Jake Arthur leaving. There was obviously some complicated stuff there going on. Why the fuck have we got rid of a player and not replaced him with another player? You know, another half. There was rumours that Connor Tracy was going to be there. Blah blah blah. Brown won't be able to play. Brown won't be able to play for 3 weeks until he goes back to court again. So Brown misses our next 3 games, essentially, which we'll get on to soon. if Moses does get picked, which we know Freddie's a big fan of Moses, going back to his Lebanon days when obviously Freddie was involved in that. And look, Moses cops a lot of heat for his Origin performance from last time. Moses played about 70 minutes with a broken back in Origin. So you can't judge him for that. I actually thought he was good. The thing for me is, if they pick Luai and they pick Hines, New South Wales are screwed kicking game-wise. If they bring Reynolds in, is a walking injury waiting to happen at his age, and they've got to start to think towards the future. Here's my prediction on this. If Moses gets picked in this Origin game and New South Wales win this series, the Origin pairing next year will be Cleary and Moses. So I think if Moses gets in and has two good games and taken the series, it's going to be very hard to kick out. And moving to Parramatta, we might as well touch on what we're talking about New South Wales as well. Obviously, Paul will be there. There's other rumours floating around that potentially if RCG performs this week, he could come into the team. They reckon he was meant to be there over to Vita Pengo anyway. And then obviously got the injury and didn't come in. So there's a big chance of that happening. Once again, I pray to God it doesn't because we can't afford to lose any more players.
When's, can I ask, I know it's not Parramatta related, but for that type of thing, when is Jake Trbojevic due back? Because that's who you'd expect to be in that spot, but I think he's due back soon.
Nah, he's still...
He misses the series, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he's missed. Okay, well, then that probably does, could happen.
Good to see Cleary's going to allow RCG back into camp. That's good.
Yeah, well, he's not there to have a go at, is he? I guess it is still Cleary's team. But look, let's... Yeah, you throw me off then. Just moving on to that Manly game, as you said, because we're going to segue into the Dylan Brown thing here. We don't have the depth in halves now by letting Jake go. We saw our New South Wales Cup team. I know Jake is obviously, is he playing this week for Manly again? Or
yeah, I'm pretty sure
he is. I know he played last week, but I thought he was good when he came on for Manly. But we've let him go. We've essentially said our New South Wales Cup team's no chance. They got beat by last place comfortably at Newcastle. And we don't have a halfback now. Like, we're going to bring Arcee in. Arcee will play 5-8 this week. If Moses drops out, they say we're probably going to have to move Gutho there, or they might be able to move Hands there even.
It's just Hands. So Hands is a good 5-8. Hands has always been a 5-8, but he's just, for some reason, better at hooker. But, yeah, I'd have Arcee 7 and Hands potentially 6.
We have no kicking game then. This is the issue that lies at the club.
But Arcee's got a good kicking game. I've got to admit that. He's got a very good kicking game.
Would you say it's a bit of a fluky one? An Arcee kicking game? Yes, thank you.
An Arcee
kicking here or not. but yeah.
He can actually do the Burton bombs as well, like the spiral. He's got a ridiculous bomb on him as well. So I guess we'll find out on Monday.
Yeah, we better say that.
Has anyone got anything to add about New South Wales, potential Parramatta players coming in? Obviously, the current strength of our... We'll say it, the current strength of our New South Wales Cup team is losing games to last place. And just the lack of... Look, I've...
When's Wanga due back?
When's
never. No, I'm joking.
No, Wanga.
In first grade?
Yeah, like when is he back from injury?
I answered it for you, Matty.
BA actually name dropped him last week. Yeah. So
supposed to be next week or two, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I reckon bold prediction, I think Reynolds will be the half and Walker will be the 5-8. So
yeah, it'd be South Sydney.
The old South Sydney firm.
So we won't have to worry about halfback because Moses will be there.
Got it. Like I'd like to see Moses get his chance.
Absolutely.
These on the line, panic stations popping up left, right, and centre.
I think Gould,
according to Gould, some people,
forward to it. So if you listen to what Phil Gould said on the weekend,
I'm not listening to what Phil Gould said. He said the Cowboys come in the comp.
He did.
Mate, records are meant to be broken. Jeez.
He said if there was no Cleary, Moses would have played at least half a dozen Origin series points.
Well,
Phil
Gould doesn't like to say much nice stuff about Parramatta or just Parramatta players in general. But we know how close Gould and Fittler are as well. So for him to come out and say that means there is a big chance. We'll move on. I guess Tuesday will tell us. You think Mitch would know by Monday, so he'll probably be able to tell by the way he plays and how cautious he's being on Monday. If he doesn't take on the line, safe to say that Mitchell Moses will play Origin. All right, moving on to it. Give me a clear my throat first. Obviously, it's...
Have a drink.
Oh, it doesn't help, mate. It doesn't help. It's obviously a pretty controversial thing to talk about. We're going to talk about it because we're going to be very careful what we say, but obviously, the Dylan Brown situation, everyone wants to talk about it. Look, I'll firstly say that it's obviously Dylan's time to grow up, but he is a 22-year-old male. I know what it can be like as a male going out to nightclubs, and I'm not saying in any sense of the imagination that this is made up, but the thing I'm frustrated with is the fact that he's gone into court today, he's pleaded not guilty, his lawyer's gone in and argued the case that the footage shows nothing. By all reports, and once again, this is allegations and reports, I've heard this girl walked up to him on 5 separate occasions and kept coming back to Dylan. Now, if he had allegedly sexually touched her 5 times, you think the first time she would have gone to a security guard and reported it. So as careful as I'm going to be treading around that one. I don't like it because I don't like it, and this is the reason why. I said this to you boys earlier. I could essentially go to a Brisbane pub next week. I could walk up to Payne Haas and insult his family enough to make him want to punch me. Payne Haas is going to punch me. All right, I've got a very punchable face. If Payne Haas punches me, I can then go to the police and report Payne Haas. He's gone. Brisbane season struggles. This is the point we're getting to. I'm not saying people make stuff up, but people get themselves put in situations where things can happen in life. I don't think someone's career should be stopped because of that, especially when they're pretty much come out and said the footage doesn't show enough. There's a very big chance that Dylan will get let off in 3 weeks when actually appears in front of the court. And we're lucky it's only 3 weeks. I know cases that can take 6 months to get in front of the courts. At first, he wasn't allowed back into Double Bay. After reviewing the footage today, they said he's allowed into Double Bay but not allowed into licensed premises.
Well, he lives there now, so...
Yeah, there you go. It shows that it's already been dropped, the severity of it. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets thrown out next court case, but obviously that's not our place to make. The problem I do have now is we're in a situation where we've lost our 5-8 in games we need to win. If we were to lose our next 2 games and then Dylan Brown gets let off, once again, the NRL's made a massive mistake. We've seen it before, obviously, with the whole Jack DeBellin thing. I know Jack DeBellin was a lot more serious than this, but look, the bloke missed, what, 2 years of footy? There's not many other players you can really think of that actually had signed contracts and went sat out of football. It's just, I don't know when it stops because there's been so many allegations thrown around about players. Like, did it happen with Sivo? I think it happened with, is it Sivo or Semi? One of them happened with.
Yes.
Both. It was both. There you go. There was allegations back then. There's been allegations. George Burgess, Luciano Lavua obviously went through it as well. And it can take a young bloke a lot to come back from this. Whether it's true, whether it happened, if it did, Dylan, you're an idiot. If it didn't happen, it's probably trying to pull your head in anyway. I know you're a young fella, but I believe the boys made a pact to not go out across the weekend.
Yeah, in saying that, like, literally he lives above that club. Like, he's moved to Double Bay. It's literally, like, 22-year-old, mad apartment in Double Bay, walks down to the nightclub. He's wearing a hat. I didn't think you're allowed to wear hats in clubs these days.
That's like, a new age thing. They like, all do it, apparently.
I don't know.
Was it a Power podcast, that?
Yeah, lucky it was. Lucky it wasn't. Oh, it could have been good luck if it was. You never know.
But you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think any girls would have danced on him with that hat on.
Well, you never know,
like,
mate.
We've all seen it. Like, you ask Hayden, whenever Dylan comes into that stadium or out of that stadium, the amount of girls grabbing at him for photos and autographs and, videos and full, like, posing with him.
Going on FaceTime and showing
my mate, I've seen a couple want his cardboard cutout.
Yeah, like, there was a girl trying to jump in his car the other night when he was coming out because she missed his autograph. Like, just the reaction. And, yeah, I don't know. I just think he should have stayed at home. They went out to the races and to the city and done what they needed to do, and then they all went home, but then obviously there's another Saturday night and Dylan just got bored, lives in the city now, what else can I do? Walk down the street, go to a club.
Yeah. Look, obviously alcohol was a factor. And it comes down to the point now of how professional he wants to be in his career. And look, I'm gonna say this, and I know it's gonna sound bad now, but we saw another Parramatta player go through similar incidents young in his career. And I don't need to say the name, but he seemed to pull his head in for the majority of his career till the very end. After that happened, and you all know what I'm talking about. Hey,
now he's on holiday.
Now he's on holidays. Yeah, exactly right. But it, you know what I mean. Like, hopefully, it's a lesson he needs. You're young. There's obviously temptation. Women are obviously a temptation to all men, not just young 22-year-olds with probably 600,000 disposable income at their feet. So he's made a mistake. Whether he's done the right thing or done the wrong thing, obviously let the courts decide that. I just hope that the NRL learns their lesson from this, because it seems to be very not black and white who they suspend and who they do suspend. There's obviously instances with assaults and other things. He didn't meet the 11 years or whatever it's got to be, obviously, to be throughout the game. They've decided to stand him anyway, even though he's pleaded not guilty. If Dylan went in and said, I plead guilty, I've done the wrong thing, I've been happy for the NRL to suspend him until it's all done. But he hasn't done that, so I don't know why we're laying a kid out the game who could be innocent and hopefully is. Anyone going to add on that?
I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
If I was a club, I would have just not named him anyway for this weekend anyway, because we all knew what was going to happen anyway. So I wouldn't have named him anyway.
But if you saw his body language at training the next day, it was perfect. Like, there's nothing. Like,
I think
his body language shows, yeah.
He's probably gone to Brad and told him the truth about what happened. Probably said, I had too much drink, but nothing happened. Brad would have obviously seen the footage somehow. Dylan's obviously been passed on it by his police and obviously his lawyer and stuff along those lines. So he obviously made that conscious decision thinking that he mightn't see much in it. Not to forget, there was obviously rumours floating around about Brad's daughter and Dylan last year as well. So could be a bit of an awkward situation there for Dylan as well. So it all hits a bit too close to home.
There was also reports today as well of players at media session as well, not really acting the best way as well. So you probably, obviously I wasn't there, so I didn't see what happened. But you obviously don't want this situation to blow up in the media as well. So I don't know what happened, but apparently the integrity unit's looking into it for some reason. So I just hope that this doesn't blow up even further than
they probably don't agree with the decision, because
they obviously don't agree with the decision, but they also too need to toe the line as well, and they need to even if they don't agree with the decision, they still need to treat the media with respect as well. Like, they're asking the questions.
We know the players play with the media all the time.
We've seen it. There's play.
Like, they're just, but the media just wants stories. There's nothing.
They don't care who they hurt, and they won't report on Paul Kent, will they?
But the media wouldn't have any stories if there was no issues. And to have the integrity unit involved, obviously something's happened.
Yeah, but they publish nonsense to try and create this hype. Like, why? You saw it the other night. How many times did they put it on Twitter, Troy?
Hang on. Are you ready,
Obviously, it didn't get enough traction the first time, so they retweeted it again. Am I pushing the button for Joe or what?
Yes. Oh, hurry up. Here we go. This is a favourite time of the week, obviously, guys. There is a part of this that none of you guys have spoken about yet, and I'm absolutely gobsmacked that we haven't spoken
about it. Because we let you talk about it.
as a fan, I'm actually pretty dirty on Dylan Brown, and the fact that on Monday night we heard on NRL 360 that the club has several times had serious conversations with him about his alcohol-related issues, so that's been made public. Everyone knows about that. The fact that he hasn't had the best start to the year. I think he's only just started to find a bit of form the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the first chance he sort of gets, he goes back off the rails, which isn't great. Whether or not the allegations are true, he's put himself in the situation, and he's almost gone ahead and stuffed our season when he was just going to come back and put points point where we could have clawed something back. So whether or not it's done the right thing and whether or not the NRL's done the right thing in standing him down, we know what's happened in the past. And the fact that he's wanted to jeopardise our season as paying members, as supporters of the club and things like that, we have a right to be pretty dirty on him for doing that, because these players these days, the money that they get, if they want to play up and do whatever they want to do, go into a private room, go into a bloody penthouse and do it, phones away, do whatever you want. Like, you guys are professional paid athletes earning millions of dollars to do this. Like, I know people who do their careers and their sporting careers who don't get anywhere near the money that NRL players are getting, and they don't touch a single drop of alcohol during their season, and their season goes for about 8-9 months. So these NRL players need to start pulling their heads in when it comes to this, because our drinking alcohol is a big thing in terms of your recovery as well. And for mine, if a player's obviously been talked to by the club already a number of times, then there's issues there. And sorry, Dill, he's an absolute gun of a bloke. We all love him. But there's obviously issues there that has been clearly spoken about with the club. He needs to pull his head in. He's one of those top-tier players, and I'll go as far as saying in his end of his career, he could go down as one of the best New Zealand players of all time. He has that ability, but he needs to get this stuff sorted. It's not good for the club. Fact that the position he's put himself in now.
I'm just going to add some fuel to Joel's fire here. I'm pretty sure he already done a course on this after that little toilet stall incident about respecting women. And the reason why he was given the spot in first grade, can I just mention Corey Norman and how he hasn't looked at that and said, well, Corey got punted. He had so much off-field stuff. And the same thing happened. We got stripped of points. We were going on a mad run, beating everybody, and then next thing you know, Corey gets stood down.
The final thing on this as well is on the weekend, Moses was on Triple M and clearly stated all the players agreed to lay low over the weekend, and they get back into it and they continue the run that they've sort of semi-started. And Dill Brand's obviously gone against that and gone ahead and got on the grog. So, I don't know, as fans, I'm absolutely dirty on him.
So if this has happened a number of times, then where's the club in this sanctioning Dylan? And if Dylan is found not guilty of his charges and he's gone out and, as you said, Joel, they made a pact not to go out, just to lay low, but he's broken that, what should the players say to him?
We've had this argument in our weeks before, Troy. At the moment, I don't think the club's in a position where they're holding players accountable, and the players run the joint. And we've clearly said that before. So, and these are the situations you put yourself in as a club when you don't, like, this wouldn't happen in Melbourne. This wouldn't happen. Like, this is the stuff we keep going back to.
There has been issues that happened down there.
It wouldn't happen in Melbourne because the media don't care down there. And the same as
but they've had their issues, but in the past as well.
Yeah, but it gets covered up. Look, as someone who grew up in Newcastle, and I've seen some of the shit that some of Newcastle's key players got away with. If you look at some of the blokes thrown under the bus, Dane Tills, Terence CUCU, young players to cover up for the shit that Joey Johns and Robbie O'Davis and McDougal and players like that did, the media covered it up here. Local stuff covers it up. I just want to highlight this. Dylan Brown, I'm not making excuses for him. Dylan Brown had come across here as a 16-year-old kid and made his debut at 18 years of age. Okay? The constant pressure. We don't know the pressure this kid feels on his shoulders. Obviously, last year was a breakout year for him. There's been a pretty big expectation put on him by the fans, the media. Even Brad called him out this year to perform. I know they made a pack. I haven't got a problem with him going out and having a night out and having some fun. We don't know how drunk he was. We're just assuming because he was out all day, he was on the piss. And we actually don't know that he did anything wrong yet. I'm just going to say this now, and it's going to be controversial. I went out on Friday night to a nightclub, and I had about six or seven. I'm not Dylan Brown. I'm Adam Martin. And I had about six or seven girls walk up and start dancing on me. If that's what has happened to Dylan, and obviously Dylan being a young 22-year-old, fit, good-looking, you know, male with a bit of money, he's obviously going to get a thing. He needs to learn on ways to deal with that, and he needs to learn how ways he can defuse a situation. Now, if the footage is correct and the footage has shown he's done nothing wrong but being danced, put his hand around the girl, And obviously, it'll take time, but it'll get cleared. I just hope it doesn't drag on too long because it's going to help no one and it's definitely not going to help Dylan. And we obviously got to talk about mental health in this situation as well. He's had his problems before. We know Dylan's not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, we said about money going to a penthouse. Mate, the bloke got a car and drove up to Byron Bay and stayed in a backpack with his mates. And then when allegedly had intercourse with a lady in a bathroom, okay? So we know he's made some poor choices. As I said, he does need to grow up. He's got that age he needs to, but we still don't know he's actually done anything wrong. And look, yeah, you said it, what happens, Troy? It's been taken out of the club's hand. The club can't suspend him, the NRL has. The players need to make him accountable now, and the players need to obviously try and get him in his head. Someone needs to be a bit more mature, an old head, pull him under their wing a bit, and I think that's one thing we do lack in our club. We haven't got that mature head there to do that, so someone needs to do it.
It's where we need someone like back in the day, Dean Pay or Jared McCracken, someone like that.
Josh Hodgson, mate.
Well, it could be Hodgson, 100%.
Hodgson, mate.
Yeah. And someone needs to, like I said, it just could be the wake-up call he needs anyway. Anyway, let's move on. Obviously, keep your questions coming in the comments as well, guys. I won't be taking my shirt off. It's been requested a few times. So, winter, I'm white, I'm cold, and I'll probably make my chest worse. Yeah. I'll answer that one later. I can leave that one. Oh, comes up every week. Right, let's move on to this week's game. It's obviously turning into a traditional game. Not Easter, the Queen's birthday game. King's birthday? The change? Is it Queen's or King's?
Yeah, no, it's King's now.
King's birthday. Out there at the Hawke Stadium. I went out last year and we got absolutely demolished by the Bulldogs. And for me, it was a surprise because obviously they were playing terrible. We were going well. I don't think we can take them lightly again. I think they'll need this win. They're trying to go on a bit of a roll themselves. I'm predicting a pretty big crowd based on ticket sales. I think there'll be a lot of Parramatta fans there, as there was last time. The Parramatta section was pretty well sold out. And then they released
someone, is someone playing a guitar? Sorry.
What's going on?
I'm not.
A bit of background noise somewhere?
I can actually hear that. Where's that coming from?
Someone got a TV on or something?
Anyway,
keep going. The NRL, I think, have released extra batches of general admission tickets today, I think.
Yeah. All right, yeah, they have, yeah. Because I looked last night, the chair was sold out.
Yeah, so they've released some more tickets.
I went and released, yeah, I went and bought the platinum. My pack's number was 25,000. So there's been 25,000 tickets sold. Obviously, the Bulldogs members on top of that. I reckon we'll have a 35,000 to 40,000 crowd, which is pretty impressive for 13th versus 15th. Who's going to the game, first of all? Who's going to be there? Who else going? Hayden's going. No, Joey, Matt, you're staying away. Curse of a core stadium, you don't like it?
Mate, we spent 2.5 years there, and I'm definitely not going back anytime soon.
Fair.
Before we go on to the game itself, can I just quickly touch on Brad Arthur goes past the record for most coach games for the club. So I think that's a pretty special
achievement.
Achievement.
How many games is that, Joel?
You'll know more than me. I don't look at the
344, isn't it?
244. 244.
One of us knows. Overtakes Brian Smith. You've got to respect what he's done. He's got us out of some really dark times, and we're looking a lot better than we did probably when he started. So I think it's a pretty good achievement for BA to reach.
Yeah, I'll run through the team quickly. Obviously, there's going to be some changes. Gutherson at fullback, Sivo on the wing, Russ on the other wing, Pennicini and Simonson in the centres. The six was Brown, to be announced. Moses at 7, Hopgood at 13, Cartwright 11, Davey returns in the second row, and Reid and Campbell go out of the front, go with Paulo, Watson. The 18th man is Dijon Arcia, who we're expecting to come into that sixth role, and the bench is Ogden and Dory Makatella. 19, Murchie, 20, Rodwell, who may make another debut. Dunster at 21 and Moretti at 22. Look, obviously the big change there is Davey coming back into the team. Craig drops out due to injury, as we've touched on. Campbell Gillard returns. We'll see Arcee coming in. Anyone, Hayden, your thoughts on that team?
Yeah, it's not a bad team. I think the big in being Regan Campbell-Gillard. Still a few boys to return. Obviously, Greg, a bit of time on the sidelines, but Sean Lane probably coming back soon will be a big factor and probably force Andrew Davey, who comes in now, back out of that side. But good to see him back from injury after a few weeks out as well. But, yeah, pretty solid team. Obviously, the number six up in the air. But at the moment, I think they have put Arcee in that team. But we could see some shifts around, you know, an hour before game day or something like that. An hour during game day, sorry.
Yeah, Matt, I'll go to you. I know you're a big Dijon Arcee fan. Obviously, some of the stuff he did at the Warriors and took them on a bit of a run. Yeah. Your thoughts, obviously, if he does come into the team?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think about time. I think a couple of us had him in that 14 role at the start of the year. He's pretty much Dylan Brown. Like, he's kind of like an identical player than Dylan. He'll take the line on. He had an outstanding game again when we played the Cowboys in reserve grade that game. I think set up tries, but I don't know. I think he might go fullback, Guffo go in the six, which, and yeah, but I don't know. BA's come out saying he doesn't see him as a half. He sees him more of a fullback, but I think he's a half. Like, he's got a good kicking game. He take, like, he's strong runner. But yeah, like, you'll notice if you've seen him before and if you've seen his highlights packages, he's very similar to Dylan.
What's he like defensively?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not as good as Dylan, but he's good.
Yeah, and that's Dylan in the game. Your thoughts, Troy?
Yeah, look, pretty strong team. I probably, with the extensive period that he's been out, I probably would have put RCG on the bench just to start off the bench. Other than that, you could have probably had Andrew Davey on the bench. But I feel Luca Moretti probably is unlucky not to get a bench spot as well. I mean, he was really solid on against the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago in his debut. So good to see Matt Dury back as well. But yeah, I probably would have put RCG on the bench just to take that initial period out of the game and then come on.
Let's be honest. At full strength, someone's dropping out, because I would agree with you, Troy. If Greg didn't get injured, Greg would have started, and I reckon RCG would have come off the bench for sure. Even if Greg didn't get injured, we may have even given RCG an extra week. sorry, that comment. We're not putting that one up. I'm going to get to that when I ask Joel the question. But that's brilliant. This can also
Greg took 10 minutes to read that. Troy was leaning forward with the glasses. He put the glasses on and went.
That's one of the best, Alexander. I'll leave that one. But look, I think Greg would have come. Obviously, someone's going to have to drop out this team, because when you think about it, at full strength, well, I reckon Madison stays on the bench, but Lane comes back in, obviously, in a couple of weeks. She's going to have Paulo Campbell-Gillard, Lane, Cartwright, Hopgood, and your bench is going to be Madison, Greg, Ogden, and Hands, you would think. It means Davey's going to drop out. Means Makatoa's going to drop out and Dory's going to drop out. I think Ogden's been excellent since he got his chance again. A big body, it makes sense playing him against one of his old teams as well in the Bulldogs. And I thought he was awesome when he played the Bulldogs earlier in the year. So I'm happy he's there. He's going to have a big job this weekend, because I think RCG's minutes are going to be down. But that's all really. I've got Joel. Do you want to talk about, is there someone in that team you reckon shouldn't be starting maybe? Or
well, we'll go there again. Davey, for instance, I don't know what this guy keeps doing to BA, but he's obviously cleans his car every morning or something and gets him a coffee or two. So he's just a walk-up start every time, and I just don't understand what he's actually doing to warrant that. I agree with Troy. Moretti, for mine, and this is what confuses me with BA this year. He talks about effort areas and players with their effort areas. Moretti was brilliant in that department against the Cowboys. His effort areas were massive. Like, for the time he had,
he got a bit antsy. Did you see a couple of the ones where he was like four meters offside because he just couldn't wait to go up and tackle? Like
he was there. And for mine, he showed more than Makatoa shown his whole career so far for us. So I would have had him at least that 17 spot. for mine, Dury. I know there was issues there at the start of the year for Dury and the head coach, but that looks like it's been moved on from now and the best thing for the team. For mine, Dury didn't deserve to lose his spot from the Cowboys game. I thought he was really impressive as well. So I just don't know what Davey's
considering. He played doing extra minutes as well.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know what Davey's doing to get
Matt,
this.
Do you want to bring up Alexander's comment now? You know, just get that out for us. Joel, anything to add?
And obviously, Hodgson, I don't want to keep going there, but this comment, I want to frame this comment. Please get this sent to me. I'll make something happen. So
make something happen.
Oh, that's probably not the comment
I would have added with that one.
I don't know what to – well, I sound like a broken record if I keep saying it, but Hands for Mine should be starting. We just play so much faster when he's on, and it's not going to change, so I'm getting a bit over talking about it, actually.
If we go back to that Cowboys game, I know we've called for it. We've called for Hands to come on before halftime, and he did. He came on before halftime, but then Hodgson was unable to return. I spent a lot of time a bit of time glancing across at Hodgson. He must have gone to the bike about three times to try and prove he was ready, and he still wasn't put back on. So to me, that highlights that Brendan Hands is now our number 1-9. Now, just because he's our number 1-9 doesn't mean he needs to start the game. So I know we want to, but I think Hodgson's good to have for the experience out there. We just need to know the right time to bring him off, and I think that right time is that 30th minute. If we're in a close game, I would like to see Hodgson come back on in the last 10. Because I think his experience, especially now if we bring an inexperienced half in, his experience is going to help out there. That he needs to know that's his role. It's to tackle hard and lead the young ones around the field. We'll see if that's what happens this week. Obviously, talking about the Bulldogs, someone else said in one of the comments, hopefully Reid Marnie is our best player again this week, like he was last time we played him. Thought he was terrible. He'll be out to prove a point again. But there's a couple of their players that really need to go on and make a point really coming into Origin. Obviously, Adokar was ordinary in Origin. He'll be able to prove a point. Burton being floated around as an option in the centres due to possibly Turbo. Obviously, Turbo's come back, but Mitchell's still not looking to be fit. And Pengai Jr., who was average in Origin, will be able to prove a point. So it's a must-win game for both teams, especially seeing so that period we're going to go through. We know we could be without our players the week after. So for me, the Bulldogs, if they win this game, they join us on points. That's what they'll be looking to do in front of a big crowd. So it is a danger game, but it's one of those games we do need to win. We can't afford to drop any of these games based on that away run we have at the back end of the season. Anyone else going to aim? Where do we win the game, Hayden?
Well, I think we need to shut down their big forward pack. You know, the Bulldogs have always had a big forward pack, but, you know, we've seen this year, and you mentioned Davita Pangai Jr., although he was average in Origin, it's been good for the Bulldogs, and then their young gun, which is, in my opinion, one of the rookies of the year, Jacob Preston. He's going to be in for a massive game. You know, if we can shut down that forward pack, then we should be able to win this game, because as fast as their back line's in, I think this is going to be a very brutal game. I think the forwards are going to be absolutely bashing each other, and I think with RCG and Paulo back, it gives us that massive advantage back in the forwards. So big battle of the forwards this one, Adam.
Yeah, for sure. And we need our forwards obviously to stand out there as well, based on the fact we've got a couple out. Troy, anything to add?
I think we just have to watch out for the crossfield kick from Burton to Adokar like last year. I think they'll probably try and pull that one again. I think our bench is covered their one. Their one is pretty inexperienced. Not really.
Nothing
else? Not really. Not really.
Yep. All right, Matt, who are we going to stop?
Avarillo. I reckon he's probably... We've seen it today come out that their centres are going to open market. I know Parra's... There's been whispers about Avarillo possibly coming to Parra next year.
Breaking news.
Which is...
Well, Matt's got all the inside scoops.
I reckon would be good if he does, because we've seen what he can do. But yeah, obviously, if Guffo's got his glue on his hands, that'd be good with the Burton bombs. But yeah, I think just watch the early kicks and hopefully Guffo doesn't get caught out.
Yep. Joel?
I think we just got to stop Reid. when the Boyles have played well this year, he's been off the back of the
RCG.
So if we silence him, we should be able to silence the Dogs. But I agree. I think it's a real danger game. I'm actually, not as confident as I thought I would be against these guys.
How did Reed get an exemption to play this weekend?
That's what I was about to touch on.
Two weeks in a row,
exactly.
This is one of the things. Just because a bloke wears a coward cap doesn't mean he's safe. But this is the inconsistency that the fans get the shits about. The rules being set into place, there should be no exceptions. There should be none of it. If a bloke gets concussed, he copped a clean knee to the head, and it was obviously put that it was a grade one, he should be out. It's as simple as that. And that's where fans get frustrated. Maybe they want the Bulldog season. Maybe they want bums on seats. They know Reed's going to obviously bring in extra crowd for Parramatta fans and that kind of rivalry thing. But it's just not good enough. The rules are in black and white. They need to stay in black and white. And this is what I said to you guys about everything this year. The most frustrating thing is that we, as fans, just want consistency and we're not getting it throughout the game.
And so what?
Abdo may hate Parramatta. I'm just putting that out there.
So what happens, right, and the NRL... to the NRL, like if Reed, obviously RCG and Reed, we saw it last game, they were at each other all game. What if first hit up the white head gear, we look at him, RCG's right, there he is, runs straight at him, knocks him out, first tackle of the game. Then he's out for the rest of the game. He should have been sat out. Does he sit out for 2 weeks then? Because he's been knocked out three weeks in a row or something?
Yeah,
he should be. Like, I train with some UFC boys and stuff, and if they get a head knock or if they get knocked out in a fight, it's a month before they can do any contact or anything. So for some of these NRL guys, they get knocked flat. They only get a week off, like 11 days or whatever it is.
Well, Tommy Turbo's the same. He's back this week as well.
Yeah. In UFC, in kickboxing and all the martial arts and UFC and stuff, it's automatically a month off.
Yeah.
So why isn't it in the NRL?
Both examples, this and the Turbine, is just another example of NRL putting egg on their own faces. It's actually pretty embarrassing. They come out at the start of the year going on about player welfare and how they're going to prioritise and how serious they are looking into the head knock situation, and now we've gotten to this stage. You can't tell me if Thompson Voyevich wasn't a State of Origin player, he would have got that exemption. It's the only reason why he's got the exemption, and I don't care what the NRL want to say about that, that's the pure facts of it.
To me, it's like last year when Taylan May could serve his suspension next year because they wanted full strength semi-finals and stuff like that. He comes out the first week and cracks some guy over the face. And has well, like, as, what do you do then? Like,
as a few people have said in the last day or two now, you wait till grand final week, and if someone has a head knock, a HIA, and they've got to do that 11-day stand down, I guarantee you
they'll play.
There'll be so many stories about the fact that Turbo's got off now, Marnie's got off, and they'll have to let the player off. Like, it's a grand final; they've put themselves into a corner now.
Hey, Adam, have you been talking on Facebook with Reed's mum lately? Or
what? No, I haven't. Me and Reed's mum haven't spoken since the last Parramatta Bulldogs game. And you know what? I showed her because exactly what I said was going to happen to Reed's mum did happen. So much love, Mrs. Marnie. All right, let's move on. Let's get to our bold predictions. I'll go first. Given it no thought whatsoever. we're really, really prepared this week. Sorry, I'm dying. I'm going to go Parramatta 34-10. What was it last time? Was that what the score was last time, Brandon?
No, it was 30-something to 6 or to 4.
34-10. I'm going to go for... I've bagged him out, so he's due. A Micah Sivo hat-trick.
Oh, that's your bold?
That's my bold. And my first try scorer, because I think he's going to step up and try and prove a point, pushing for an Origin selection, even though he'll probably know if he's in the team or not, is Mitchell Moses. And Reid Mahoney, 5+ tackle. No, I'm not really putting that in there. All right, Hayden.
I think we'll win. I definitely think Brown being out takes away some of the points that I did have. I had a 13 pluser, but I'll go Parramatta to win 22 points to 12. I think a bit of a low scoring grind this one, but we can get away with it in the end. I'll go Will Pennicini, first try scorer. I reckon Will will score first. And bold prediction, I'll go Sivo to score in the last 10 minutes. So you can't leave it for the other 70 of the match. Sivo to score in exactly the last 10 minutes.
Troy?
Yeah, so it was 30-4 last time we played, and the same game last year at a core, it was 42-6. So, Yeah, to them. So,
yeah.
Last two times we played. Just before I get onto that, just a shout out to Joey Grimer, who's left the Parramatta Eels. He's been at Parramatta for a long. He's left the Parramatta Eels. You didn't know that, Matty?
Yeah. No, I didn't even. I haven't been on social media.
Okay,
that much,
so Joey Grimer was the head of Elite Pathways. Yeah, he was the head of Elite Pathways at Parramatta, and he has now taken up a position in PNG with the PNG Rugby League, and to try and get them into the NRL. So he's done a lot for Parramatta.
We lost you, Troy.
Okay, sorry.
Are you in slow motion or something?
You're having a stroke or you're in slow motion?
The dial-up isn't working, mate. The dial-up isn't working. But, okay, so Joey Grimer, he was the Elite Pathways manager for Parramatta, looking after all the juniors. And
yeah, we heard that.
He's now taken up a role in PNG to work with their rugby league. He was with them for the last World Cup, I think it was. This is a job in PNG. And they're going to try and get the 18th license in the NRL as well. So that's one of their goals. So he's pretty much in charge of that sort of thing as well. So he's done a lot for Parramatta. He's coach, assistant coaches, assistant coached, player development and stuff like that. So shout out to Joey. Thank you. First try scorer will be
I just got Joey on the phone. He said, yeah, thanks, Troy.
I've already sent him a message, and yeah, he said thanks, mate. Yeah, so
I'm gonna have to message him.
Yeah. Well, I think he flew out today. I think. Oh no, today was his last day. He flies out tomorrow. So get on the phone quickly, Matty.
They don't have phone when he's in PNG. You do know that.
Yeah.
I might have better internet than you, Troy, based on that earlier.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Right. I should probably pay the bill, put the coins in or whatever. But Bailey Simonson, first try scorer. I'm going to go 42-18. And our bold prediction will be Reed Marnie to get sin bin. There you go.
I tried that last time. It didn't work.
Well, there you go.
If everyone can get on to Troy's Paracase podcast and buy a shirt and a hat, Troy might be able to get himself some NBN. All right, Joel, what do you got?
I'll have 20 to 10. I think it's going to be a dogfight similar to what Hayden was saying.
Oh, a dogfight, really?
Yeah, I love a good dogfight. I'll say Moses to score the first try. And my bold prediction would be Moses to score at least 14 of the 20 points.
Ooh up. Get your own first try score, bruh.
You can't. Oh, can you not go double? You can't go. Okay. I'll go Junior. Junior's going to stroll over and prove he's back.
Stroll over? What, from about 20, meters out? Or?
Oh, he plays like a halfback at times, so.
All right, Matt. Finish us off, and then we'll go some questions quickly.
All right, so I've got Eels 28-12. I did have Bailey, but Troy took it, so I'm going to go Arcee.
We really should do these predictions before we get on air, so we have.
My bold prediction is Dejan Arcee is going to have three try assists.
You're right. pretty bold when we don't even know if the bloke's playing.
Yeah, that is bold. That, Adam, that's too...
Didn't you do that with Nathan Brown last year, Troy? You had a Nathan Brown bold prediction, but he didn't even play.
Probably, but... Adam, that's worth 200 points if Matty gets that one up, so...
No, because he's in. He's already in.
Well, he's not at the moment.
We've got another options.
Yeah.
Relax, Asian. Good luck, brother.
Mustard.
All right, let's get to some mustard. Comments. What have you been starring, Matt? What do we got?
All right, I've got...
Now I want to read it.
Hey guys, opinion on the game against Bulldogs. I think we are in enormous trouble. No Brown away game. Bad history at a core. What are your opinions?
Well, I'm sick of this bad history at a core shit. I know we had big issues there, and it's just a fucking stadium. Like, I don't agree with it. Every time we play a game there, it doesn't matter what opposition we play there. We either play the Tigers or the Dogs there, really. We seem to have just as many fans there. It's technically a Parramatta home game, and that'll be the case again on Monday. I don't believe in it, and we've obviously already touched on Brown being out. It's a danger game for us, but...
Players don't like playing there.
Hey?
They don't like playing there.
Because you can't fucking see if you sit behind the post.
Hayden, there'll be 60
I actually like this one. I actually like that one. Russell Fullback.
No, Russell, it'd be good to see Russell have a crack at fullback, but Gutho's not a 5'8". Gutho's not a fullback, in my opinion. Defensively, he's a fullback, but he's not an attacking fullback. So, for me, if they move Gutho to 5'8", it'll be the worst thing we can do because his final touch isn't good enough.
Whatever he wants to do.
Focus on para. We need you, please.
Selfish.
New South Wales already done. New South Wales are done for the season. We're still somehow going, so...
I'm not answering that one.
Didn't he score a try in the game that he played for us?
He's a reserve grader.
Yeah, he scored a try, mate.
George, can you give me a justification if you're still here? Why would you like to see Lumi there? Besides he coming out of a Melbourne system, what has Lumi done that he deserves to be a starting winger at Parramatta?
I've already run through read that one.
Yeah, we've done that one. Any more questions, guys? Fire away.
We'll be for hours doing this one.
We can all post one up on the Facebook page or something.
I pretty much went through it before. Like, your back line is obviously what it is at the full strength now, in my opinion. Simonson's earned his spot. Sivo needs to improve. Obviously, with Dylan there at 5'8 as well, half. It's just that bench rotation, which is very simple. It's going to be
Hayden, where's your merchandise? Can we see it?
It's at home. I'm at Nan's, but I guess Maddie, if he can share the screen, can chuck it up. There is a website available. I can put the link in for you in a second. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, he wants to have
I have had a couple fans ask throughout the night, but yeah, I think the big thing is about my merchandise is obviously that it is very Parramatta related. There is a few designs there that relate to the Eels. So if you are a fan of the Entertain House channel and a fan of the Eels, which if you're here, you probably are, then yeah, you probably will like the merchandise.
When's the Entertain House Budgie Smugglers coming at home?
I'm working on them, mate. I've got to come up with a great design butt, so I'll give
myself... I just want your face on it.
A great design butt? What?
A great design on the butt? Yeah. I think I've just sent that through to you, Matt, if you want to put that on the screen.
Look, Callum, I wouldn't be surprised if that one does happen, especially playing against his old team. And I think it's a good option to start Ogden, bring RCG off the bench. But, yeah, well, it's just one of those things. See if it does happen. Now, as I said, we've obviously touched on the Dylan situation quite enough, so I won't go too much more into that. But
I think Adam's got a fan here as well.
We've been calling for a while. He deserves a crack. Anything else? Are we done?
I think Adam's got a fair deal as well.
Shirt, I just sent Matty that link, so we can post it up on the thing for people.
Just bring up Alexander's last comment quickly.
Good point, what he's saying.
And the point is, you don't change your spine. Okay, you don't rotate your spine around just to one player when you've got the depth to cover it. If we'd lost 6 5'8", all our 5'8"s were unavailable, I would then move, obviously, Gutho to 5'8". We don't have that problem, mate. We have a bloke who's capable of playing 5'8". He has played in the NRL first grade playing 5'8". Okay, I know his preferred position at the moment is fullback. He can play centre or whatever, but it's not going to make a difference. Guffo's going to step up and help him out either. Anyway.
And the problem is we're carrying a 50-year-old porn star as well, so it makes it hard.
There's a good podcast with James Graham, Josh Hodgson, so check that one out. After this one, of course.
All right, that'll do. I'm ready for bed. My voice hurts. That's all we've got time for. Also, you'll be tuning in next week again. Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to be rotating the day. So see what works and get on with it. Obviously, para fans, get out to the game. Let's make it a predominantly Parramatta home ground, home game, even though it's a away game. We are on a bit of a roll. Looking, is this three in a row? Three wins in a row, obviously, with the bye.
Yeah, the bye, 10 points to 8. That was a good result.
We won 100-0.
It was 100-0, yeah. Don't know what results you're checking out. It was 100-0.
There you go, guys.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, with that, if you click on shop or products, you can see the shirts and things. Obviously, a lot of people have been buying the stickers.
What's
to start
the pets?
Off. The stickers are on the front one. Sorry, what was that?
What's the pets? Are you selling entertainment house dogs?
Pets. Oh, no, there's just a thing on there where you can get, like, pet blankets and stuff, but it's all taken its time to set up.
Thought it might have been some kind of tour I could use.
I think the blue and gold MM sticker, if you want to put the screen on me, Maddie, here, I have got this for you to show, but that's about it tonight, which is the phone case of the blue and gold MM there.
Did you get permission to use that image, Hayden?
Do you know that it's actually been designed off a photographer? So don't start on me, Troy, because I've had a lot of different battles with people. But yes, it is all licensed. There you go.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. See everyone there Monday. Troy, get us out of here.
Okay. Thank you very much for tuning in on the Facebook page, Facebook Live viewers, and you'll catch it on the YouTube channel as well. Not too sure which channel it'll be on. Maybe the Entertain House channel, maybe the MTady Sports. Yeah, okay, there you go. All the YouTube channels, Apple, Spotify for the audio as well. Check that one out. And as Adam said, see you out there on Monday. Let's get the win and roll on, and we'll be talking Para again next week. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Peace. Go Para.